Welcome back, team. This is your host of the Best of Five podcast, Grant Kreitzer.
And Claire Kreitzer.
We're happy to have you again. Today's episode is a bit of a chalk talk where we're going to try and break things down for the upcoming 2025 NCAA volleyball season.
Yeah, an opening weekend this week, games start. We're really excited to have the first whistle and the first serve. And so we're going to give you a little bit of chalk talk, some make some predictions, and then give you all the details on who you should be watching this weekend.
Yeah. No more dilly-dallying. We're going to jump right into it. We're super excited for this upcoming season. As of this podcast recording, we are less than 24 hours away from the first serve. And our first segment of the week is going to be Queens of the Court. So we're going to be talking top returning players. We're going to pick our starting six teams, and we're also going to pick who we wish would coach those six. And also, it's not going to be a starting six. It's going to be like a starting seven, eight. We're going to doctor it up a little bit.
We're going to build a roster.
Exactly.
Let's start off with some top returning players. Absolutely. And highlight some of them. We'll start off with the national champs.
Why not?
The reigning national champs, Penn State. We'll start off, obviously, with setter Izzy Stark. Freshman last year,
yep.
Led them to a national championship, has had a whole offseason to get better and make connections with her team. And so she's going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially as a freshman, having that experience going into your sophomore season, knowing what it's like to go through that long of a season.
Yes.
And win a national championship against all of the odds and everything going on with Coach Katie is incredible and invaluable.
Yeah, and it'll be cool to see her take on a bigger leadership role
for
this
sure.
year.
And her bestie, Ava Falduto.
Yes.
Very excited to see Ava back on the court. It seems like in kind of like the spring matches and any kind of practices that I've been seeing, Jillian Grimes is locked in libero.
Yes.
Which is...
Yeah, I mean, Coach Katie at the Big Ten Media Day, mm-hmm. they asked her who's a player to watch on your team, and she said Jillian Grimes.
Yes.
Because Jillian, she said, got better every single match last season mm-hmm. and has continued to grow. So she's excited to see her, and we're excited to see her.
Absolutely.
Take on a bigger leadership role yeah. and really dominate in her senior season. Yep. But that doesn't take away from the DS, mm-hmm. Ava Falduto, who is a great addition and played a big role last year. And we think we'll do it again.
Absolutely. And not to mention a returning player, but not a returning player to Penn State. We have Kennedy Martin, 6'5",
yes.
6'5", 6'6", right side hitter from Florida.
And she dominated when she played in the SEC and with yeah. Florida. So I'm looking forward to see how she does the transition to the Big Ten and see if she can carry over her dominant performance. So I think those are our players to watch from Penn State. So next up on our list is we have some key players from Texas who are returning, and we'll start with the players who are actually returning
yep.
from Texas. Libero Emma Halter, who has been their starting libero for the past 2 years. Now she has a bit of competition with transfer Ramsey Gary, but I think we can predict that with her performance over the past two seasons, mm-hmm. she's a rock star in the back row, provides them with a lot of energy. And we'll be excited to see her sweeping up the court this season.
Big time. And when I watch Texas, Emma Halter isn't someone that I necessarily gravitate towards and I'm constantly watching. And that's just because it just speaks to how solid she is. You never have to worry about her, whether it's serve receive, whether it's defense. She eats it up every single time. And alongside Emma Halter, we have Ella Swindle, who is going to be a junior.
Going to be a junior, yes.
She'll be a junior. She's the setter. And she had a different role her sophomore year than she did her freshman year. Her freshman year, she was the starting setter and won a national championship.
Yes.
And then her sophomore season, they had a transfer, Avery Carlson, mm-hmm. step in. And they were fighting for playing time. And there's a lot of drama that we touched on last week with that. So I'm happy that she is sticking it out at Texas mm-hmm. and hopefully we'll be able to lead her team to another successful season.
Yeah, definitely. And she's a very big block besides being a very good setter. So it'll be cool to see the connections that she makes, especially with new outside hitter to Texas, not new to volleyball, but new to the Texas team, transfer Tori Stafford from Pitt. who was their go-to outside hitter, proved especially last season that she is elite.
Oh, yeah.
And she will be starting her junior year at Texas, and I anticipate she will not be slowing down at all.
Nope, I don't see that for her at all. To round out Texas returning players, we have Whitney Lonstein, who had a short hiatus.
Yes.
She had a baby, so I'm very happy to see her back. And she didn't get much playing time last year, although she was on the team. And I'd love to see her get some playing time.
Exactly. Yeah, because, I mean, after her freshman year that she had at Nebraska, she was very solid. So it'll be cool to see if she can get back to that level. And then next up, we have Louisville, who is returning one of their starting setters. They ran a 6-2 last year. So they are returning Nialise Cabello, who will now be a sophomore. She brings a ton of energy. She has a really quick tempo. And it's going to be really cool to see how she adjusts to her new outside hitters.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of those outside hitters being Peyton Peterson. And although it's not new to them because they practice together, but Peyton Peterson didn't get a ton of playing time last year other than the national semifinal and the national championship, where she not only stood up but stepped out and went balls to the wall crazy, making some serious plays as a younger player with not as much experience, especially not on that stage. And then joining her on the outside, we have Chloe Chacoin from Purdue, which that was a big transfer. Purdue lost a lot of players to the transfer portal, to graduating, and so they're definitely going to be hurting, but I know a lot of other programs really benefited from those transfers.
Yes.
And just to kind of rattle off some of the next teams, Texas A&M has the star Logan Linicki, who really pushed them far into the playoffs as kind of an underdog. She got some playing time with the USA national team, playing in the VNL alongside Pitt, who is returning Olivia Babcock, Bree Kelly, and who's the other middle? Why can't I think of her name?
Ryla Jones.
Ryla Jones is back. And we did just see in some Instagram posts that Bree Kelly is in a boot.
Yes.
Which is definitely going to hurt Pitt, but they have a big roster and I'm sure they have a lot of depth.
Yeah. And hopefully that this isn't a long injury and she can get some rest at the beginning of the season so that she can be good to go, because she is a key, and her and Olivia Babcock were named Pitt's captains this year.
Yes, I saw
that. So they are leaders and big time returners to the Panthers team. Nebraska, I think, is returning maybe the most powerhouse players.
Which they have for the last 2 years.
Exactly. Yes. So you have Harper Murray on the outside. You have Andy Jackson in the middle. Also, Rebecca Alec in the middle. Lainey Choboy and Olivia Mauck are their returning DSs who are going to be competing for the starting libero spot. You also have Taylor Landfair, who can be a big block and a weapon on the outside.
Bergen Riley.
Yeah, you cannot forget her. Yep. Their starting setter the past 2 years. So they have a core group that is back, and I think really out for the national championship.
For sure. I think within the past couple of years, the talk has all been Nebraska, Nebraska, Nebraska. And this year, I really feel it. I really, really see that national championship for them, especially watching their preseason red and white game and their alumni match. They have some serious freshmen coming in that are going all out fighting for that position, which is exactly what they need. People to really, really push them.
Exactly. Yes. And next on our list, we have Kentucky, who's returning their star outside hitter, Brooklyn DeLay, along with their starting libero, Molly Tuzzo, who I think also got some time with the U.S. national team this summer. And they're also, she's not a returner to Kentucky, but she's a returner to volleyball. You have Eva Hudson, another one of those Purdue transfers that made their way to another school.
Yeah. Next up, we have Minnesota, who's returning McKenna Wooker on the outside, along with Julia Hansen, which that's a great, solid pair of outsides to have.
Exactly.
And I'm not so sure about who is kind of below them in the roster, but I'm sure that they have plenty of people to push them to get even better and better.
Yeah. And I think these are both of their senior seasons.
Yes.
So they will be playing very hard, especially since it's their last season with the Gophers.
Yeah, Minnesota's always a team to keep your eye on. They've kind of faltered the last couple years, but I have pretty high hopes for them. And then we have Creighton, who definitely lost some of their big-time players, but they're returning Ava Martin on the outside.
Yes.
And then Florida, we have Alexis Stuckey, who has been in and out with injuries, And Florida also lost their head coach, Mary Wise. She retired. So that's going to be a slight shift. But as much as we love and respect Mary Wise, maybe this is the push that they need to get Florida volleyball back to where they were.
Exactly. And then last on our list, we have the returners from Wisconsin. We have their starting setter coming back for their sophomore season, Charlie Furbringer. And she has so much potential. And I think another year and a spring in the gym with all of the hitters working on connections and working on the pace will only benefit them. And along with her, you also have your favorite.
Oh, Carter Booth. Carter Booth, of course. I'm so sorry. I zoned out for a second. Carter Booth, I'm sorry. I just love her so much. I love to watch her play. I think she has one of the best attitudes. She is so tall and not to mention beautiful. I just love her. I just love her so much. So that's the list of top returning players, but now we're going to move into our starting six and who we want in our rotation. So we're just going to go one for one, starting with outsides, and we're going to flip a coin.
Or we'll do even or odd.
Even or odd. Okay. I'll hold up behind my hand.
Okay. Odd. Yes.
I was holding up the number one. So Claire gets to pick first.
Okay. Awesome. Do you want to go by positions?
Yeah. So our outsides. Pick one outside. I'll pick one outside.
Okay. One outside for me is I will pick Tori Stafford.
Oh, okay. I was going to take Tori Stafford. All right. I'm going to take Harper Murray.
Okay. My second outside is going to be Brooklyn DeLay.
Okay. My second outside is going to be... I need to really think on this one. Ooh, it's really hard. I'll take Mimi Collier.
Okay, that's a great solid choice. Absolutely. A six rotation outside hitter. Yep. Love it.
All right, let's do two middles now.
Okay, and you can pick first for the middles.
I'm going to take, believe it or not, Carter Booth. Carter Booth.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
I'm going to take Andy Jackson.
Okay, I'm going to take Ryla Jones next from Pitt.
Good one. Yep. Good one. Okay, my last...
Oh, wait, you picked Andy Jackson?
Yes. Okay. Right. Yes. My last middle that I'm going to take... Oh, this is just because I really, really like her. Jordan Hopp.
Oh, yes. From Penn State. Yes.
Grad student playing her second season at Penn State. Didn't get a ton of time last year, but when she did, showed up in big moments, and I can only assume that she's gotten better.
Absolutely. Right. DS Libero, just one.
Oh, okay, just one. That's a little hard, but I think I'm going to have to go with Jillian Grimes.
Okay, I was thinking of Jillian too. Okay, mine will be Emma Halter.
Great pick. Yep. Great pick. You can't go wrong with either of those two. All right,
what do we have left? Right side?
Right side and center.
Oh, okay, which one do you want to do first?
Let's do right side first, and you can go first.
Okay, I'm going to take Olivia Babcock.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Yeah. Yeah.
That's solid.
Pretty undisputed.
Yeah, and I will take the other undisputed one, Kennedy Martin.
Absolutely. And then setters. Okay, you get to pick first.
Oof, this is scary. I'm going to pick... Bergen Riley.
You? Oh my God, okay. I was going to pick Bergen Riley because she's one of my favorite setters to watch. As much as I love Izzy Stark, yes. I could watch Bergen Riley set all day because it is the most fluid. It is so technical. It comes with ease, even though I know she works so hard to be where she is. Okay, I can't take Bergen Riley as well. So I am going to take Izzy Stark. So I am not mad with that choice at all.
Yeah.
And okay, that rounds it out.
Exactly.
We have our starting six.
Who do you think will win?
It's impossible to know.
I know. I would love to see them play.
Yeah. Jeez. That is like an all-star match. Like
it is.
What would even happen? Honestly, I think it would just be madness and it would come down to a coin toss. It's just like they're going to play point for point and go five sets and whoever has the more energy or who has the coach that can get them there. So we're going to pick who we want to coach our team. You can go first.
Oof, this is hard because I think there are a lot of great coaches out there, but I just have to think of the coach that would work with my team the best. Okay, we haven't mentioned Stanford yet, and I'm going to coach my team. I'm going to pick Kevin Hambley because I think all of the players that I said are so good and are so technical that he would be a great coach for them.
I think that is a great choice for your team. I'm going to choose for my team. She's the talk of the town lately, Danny Busboom Kelly.
DBK.
Love DBK. She pushes her players so harshly, or not harshly, but she pushes them to the best of their ability. And I just enjoy watching her coach. And I think she also builds good connections with her teams.
Definitely.
They always have good rapport, open communication, and she believes in her teams. And yeah, that's what you need.
Exactly. I love that.
All right. So that's all for our Queens of the Court. So next up for our segment, we're going to do our scouting report. And we've already touched on our top teams, but we can kind of run through maybe the top 10 of the ABCA, top 25. And there's a lot of big names that you would expect and a few kind of sneaky picks that you might not expect to be up there, like Texas A&M, but you can go ahead with the top 10.
Okay, sounds good. So coming in at number one is Nebraska. As we've said, they're returning most of their core lineup and they're the team to beat. Yeah. All of their players have been playing there since their freshman years and have been getting significant playing time. So it's their year to make or break it.
Yeah. And then you have Penn State at number two, which could be considered controversial considering Penn State is coming off of the national championship. But Penn State did lose their two starting outsides, which is a big loss. But I'm excited to see who's going to fill those roles. I have super high hopes for them, of course. But yeah, they got the number two seeding, which I think is a little strange. But I can also, as of right now, seeing the team stacked up against each other, I do think Nebraska would beat Penn State right now.
Right now. Yeah. The first week of the season. Yeah. I agree with that. And then third on the list is Pittsburgh.
Yep.
They spent most of last season at number one, but lost some of their key players and are coming in right at number three. I think that's a good spot for them. For sure. And I think we'll see if this is their year to break past the Final Four and make it into the championship. And hopefully for them. Hopefully for them, they can bring a championship back to Pittsburgh.
And then at number four, we have Louisville. So those are the Final Four from the previous season. I think these rankings make sense. Although Louisville and Penn State both did lose significant players. So they're going to definitely have some rebuilding to do, which I'm sure they're working hard at right now to keep those top four rankings. And then just to kind of brush past the next five, we have Texas at five, Stanford at six, Kentucky at seven, Wisconsin at eight, Texas A&M at nine, which is definitely a surprise.
But yes.
I don't even know if it's a surprise because they really showed up and showed out in the playoffs.
And they returned almost all of their starters besides a DS.
Yeah. So they're definitely going to be a team to watch out for. And then a somewhat letdown in the playoffs last year, we have SMU, who was a significant player throughout conference, really giving Louisville and Pitt and Stanford in the ACC a really hard time. And taking some sets and taking some games off of them. So to see them in the top 10, I am kind of surprised. I'm not going to lie.
Especially because they definitely lost some of their key players too to graduation, their setter, their outside hitters. But they are ready to come back. And I mean, last season they beat Nebraska in the pre-conference games and was the only team to beat Pitt last year in the regular season. Yeah. Even though they lost some of their starters, they definitely gained a lot of experience playing the top teams last year. So I think that'll be really helpful in their success this year.
And then we'll just round out the top 25 by listing them off real quick. Minnesota at 11, Creighton, Arizona State, Kansas, Purdue, Florida, Missouri, UCLA, which watch out for UCLA. Yes. They got a lot of really good transfers. I think they're going to go up in the rankings really quickly.
Definitely.
And then at 19, BYU, Baylor, USC, Georgia Tech, Utah, Dayton, and TCU. So we are in store for a really, really competitive season. All right. So scouting report, we talked about our top teams. We're also going to touch on some of the upcoming big matches, which as of this recording, we have less than 24 hours before the first serve, which will be Pitt versus Nebraska at 7 p.m. Friday. And the Nebraska and Pitt matchup has some history because they played each other in the 2023 semifinals and Nebraska then beat them. And then in this past go around in the playoffs in the Final Four, They both lost in the semifinals. And then that same night, we have Florida versus Stanford, which again, there's some history there of them beating each other in the playoffs. That would definitely be an exciting competitive match to watch. For sure.
Yeah. And then on Saturday, so those were the games on Friday. And we have a couple games on Saturday as well. We have Kansas versus Vanderbilt at 3 o'clock, which is a very historic game because it is the first game in Vanderbilt volleyball's history. So a warm welcome to the stage of NCAA volleyball with playing one of the teams in the top 25. And it's the first game that Matt Ulmer, the former coach of Oregon, will be coaching at Kansas.
Yeah.
So lots of firsts going on in that game. So we're really excited to see the outcome of that. And our second game on Saturday is Creighton versus Penn State at 5 o'clock, which is very exciting because this is a rematch of the 2024 Elite Eight game that went to five. That was a very intense, very competitive game. So it would be fun to see them back on the court playing each other.
For sure. And in a different arena too, because when Creighton played Penn State was at home,
yes.
which we know has a lot of gravity and can really change the game.
Definitely.
And then Sunday and Monday, those same teams will be just kind of mixing up and playing different opponents. So we have Florida versus Pitt, Stanford versus Nebraska, Kansas versus Penn State, and Minnesota versus Texas A&M, which I think Minnesota versus Texas A&M has the potential to be one of the best games that we just listed.
I agree. Very evenly matched.
Yep.
And it'll be fun to see how these games go in this first weekend, because I have a feeling that we'll see some of these matchups on the road to Kansas City this season. So it'll be interesting to see the results of these and see how they impact the season as we keep moving forward.
Absolutely. All right. So we're just going to go through those games and give our kind of gut reaction as to what we think is going to happen. My opinion, Pitt versus Nebraska, I think Nebraska's going to take it in four.
I think Nebraska's going to sweep them in three.
Oh, okay. Florida versus Stanford, I think Stanford's going to win in four.
Okay. I think Stanford will win in, actually, I'm going to change. I think Florida's going to win in five.
Oh, okay.
I think that Florida is very scrappy and they have a really good culture. Like, it seems like they all get along very well. So I think when things get tight, they will only get better and Stanford will have to learn how to play through some of the tight moments.
For sure. Kansas versus Vanderbilt, I'm going to be honest, I have no idea because we have no idea what Vanderbilt has to offer as a new program. So I'm going to say Kansas in five.
Okay. I'm going to say this is a hard one because I don't know a whole lot about Kansas. I know that Matt Ulmer brought a lot of Oregon players with him, but that also poses some challenges with, you know, getting used to a new environment and getting used to playing against different people. So I'm going to just do a wild card guess and say Vanderbilt in five.
Okay. There you go. Next up, Creighton versus Penn State. I am going to take Penn State. This might be optimistic, but Penn State in three.
I'm going to be a little pessimistic for our Nittany Lions, and I'm going to say Creighton in five.
Oh, okay.
I know. I don't think it's very likely with Penn State's power, but I think that Creighton will have something to prove and will want to avenge their loss from last season.
For sure. Florida versus Pitt. I think that Pitt is going to take it in five. I think Florida is going to come out of nowhere and really surprise them.
Yeah, I think that Florida is going to win in four.
Okay.
Yeah, same sort of, you know, mindset, but I think they're going to be able to finish.
Yeah.
Whereas Pitt, going off of what the trends that we've seen from prior seasons, is they get frustrated easily and sometimes aren't able to finish.
I think Florida's either going to win in five or Pitt's going to win in three.
Yeah, you know, yes, like, it's either going to it's going to be either or.
At Stanford, Nebraska. I think that Nebraska will take it in three.
I'm going to say Nebraska in four. I do have to remember though that pre-conference games, the first couple weeks of the season, are always a little disappointing for volleyball fans. Because it's not the cleanest volleyball.
Totally. A lot of missed serves.
Yes, a lot of missed serves, a lot of communication errors. So I have to, when we're making these predictions, I need to remember to take that into account and also not get frustrated when I'm watching games because this is the first weekend. They're only going to get better from here.
And I mean, The only thing that we can predict is that it's going to be unpredictable.
Exactly. Exactly.
But volleyball just is unpredictable, and that's the name of the game. Kansas, Penn State. I'm taking Penn State in three.
Me too.
Yeah.
I think that's a solid guess. I think they're going to be fired up and ready to play, and they're not really going to care who's across the net from them.
Yeah. And then Minnesota, Texas A&M. I'm saying Texas A&M in four.
Okay, I'm going to take Minnesota in three. Who knows? I think I have a lot of faith in McKenna Wooker and Julia Hansen, and I think they're going to be dominant.
For sure. All right, that's all for the scouting reports. Segment. So that's all for the scouting report segment. We're going to move on to the road to Kansas City, which is a phrase you're going to hear us saying a lot. The national championship, of course, is in Kansas City this year, and we want to get into the routine of predicting our Final Four. We're going to go and predict some of the conference champions, like the Big Ten, the ACC, the SEC, because those are the ones that we watch the most closely.
Yeah, and I would argue are the most competitive.
Yeah, me too. And I think a lot of volleyball fans would completely agree with that.
Exactly.
So my Final Four right now is Nebraska, Penn State, Pitt, and I think Texas.
Okay, that's a great choice. Yeah. So one different from last year.
Yeah. And then, yeah, so Louisville, I don't currently see them in the Final Four. Of course, I'm sure they'll change my mind. But I can definitely see Texas up there with all of their experience and having Torrey Stafford transferring in. But again, like I can even see like some rando, like UCLA.
Exactly.
I think UCLA, and I know I mentioned this earlier, is really going to surprise some people this year with all of their transfers. That's who I see right now.
Okay, awesome. I am going to go with Nebraska and Penn State, because they, over the past 20 years, have had the most success in the tournament. And I think that experience will lift them to the Final Four. And along with, I'm going to say, Texas as well.
Okay.
And then I think that Stanford is itching to get to a Final Four. Yeah. We mentioned, I think, last week that the senior class last in 2024, they made it to four consecutive Elite Eights without making the jump to the Final Four. So I think this year it's their time. They're ready and they're going to be a top team. And I would just love to see Kevin Hambley on our screens.
As much as possible.
As much as possible. Exactly. But like you, I could see Kentucky or Wisconsin getting in there. Along with
Texas A&M.
Exactly. Yep. So it's really, that's my best prediction for now, but I could definitely see one of these teams that are in the top 25 making their way to the Final Four.
Totally. Who is your national champion?
Great question. I'm going to go with Nebraska.
Me too. I'm also going with Nebraska. I am not a big Cornhuskers fan, but their talent is undeniable, and matching the caliber of their roster, I don't think as of right now anyone in the NCAA is doing it.
No, they for sure have the number one roster from top to bottom in every position. They're so deep as well. So even if, God forbid, an injury happens, they have somebody who is equally as talented who's able to step in. So I agree. I think Nebraska is the team to beat this year. And we'll just have to see what other teams develop and how the tournament and how the competition stacks up.
Absolutely. Here's another tough question. Big Ten champ.
That's a hard one for me. And I think what I'm going to do is, because last year in 2024, there were co-champs, Nebraska and Penn State. And I'm going to say, okay, this is how I think Nebraska is going to win the national championship. I don't think they're going to win the Big Ten title. And that's going to piss them off, okay? I think that Penn State and either Wisconsin or UCLA will be the co-Big Ten champs. Nebraska will be so mad that they lost a game or two down the stretch, and that's going to give them their fuel to make it to the national championship.
I fully co-sign that prediction. That's exactly where my mind was going. I don't think Nebraska is going to be the sole Big Ten champ. I think there's even a chance that they aren't a part of the Big Ten champ.
Yes.
You know, I think that we are going to see another Big Ten co-champs. Next up, ACC champ prediction. I'm going to give it to Pitt.
Okay.
Yeah. I think Pitt has it in the bag. They returned a lot of really solid players, and they also got some key transfers too. So I can really see it for Pitt.
Definitely. I'm going to disagree with you on that because I think Pitt, at least at this point in time, may be plagued with injuries, and they're going to have some things to work through with a new setter, a new libero, new transfers, like you said. So I'm going to say Louisville.
Oh,
I know.
Okay.
That's an underdog pick, but I think chemistry-wise, I'm going to go with Louisville.
I can totally see that. And then SEC champ. This one's kind of tough. I'm not sure.
This is hard.
My gut is telling me Kentucky.
Okay.
Yeah.
My gut is telling me Texas.
Yeah.
But they're two very evenly matched teams. And then, like we saw last year, you also have Missouri. You have Florida. You have, what are some other teams that made, you had old
Texas A&M.
Texas A&M is in there. And Ole Miss, who made a great run in the tournament. So, like I think we said this last week too, the SEC has become more and more competitive from the top to the bottom, but I think that the Longhorns will come out on top.
I think the SEC is just going to be messy this year. So I think there's going to be a lot of interesting wins and losses in the SEC this year, and it's just going to depend on the week and how the team is playing.
Right.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us. And next time we'll be talking to you, we will have already witness the first serve and get the results from all these games. And we're really excited to give you some more stats and predictions from the stats. And
yeah, and we'd love to hear what your predictions are. So what your final four is, who you think the conference champs are going to be, who you think's going to take it all and take home the prize in Kansas City. And also just let us know that you're super excited to follow along and watch the best game that we know.
Yep. It's the best because it's the best of five, and we'll be with you on the road to Kansas City.
Yeah. And remember to like, subscribe, and download wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.